science, learning, business, community, you. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to ThinkWorks, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I really want to continue on with the foundational discussion about the impact of social media that we started last week. And this week I want to really hone in on the impact of social media in terms of its impact on mental health and well-being. And it does this in a number of ways, because we all see, I mean, today's youth, to give it quite a generic term, I know, but the obsession with devices and with chronicling life and the universe and everything, it leads to pressures that the young people don't necessarily understand that they're putting themselves under until it has a detrimental effect. So let's take a look at what I mean by that. So if you look at social comparison, for example, social media can definitely foster feelings of inadequacy, anxiety, and that leads to depression, because there's this constant comparison with curated online personas, and that leads to all kinds of issues of self-esteem and really does impact mental health. The rise of influencer culture on platforms like Instagram, for example, has definitely contributed to this unrealistic beauty standard and the ideal body image that is portrayed amongst young users in particular. And it leads to concerns about the implication of constant comparison and validation-seeking behaviours. It doesn't just end there. The enormity of social media facilitates cyberbullying and harassment and online abuse. It poses a risk to individuals' mental well-being and therefore emotional safety. We've all done it. I mean, you do a post and you just it's just a post. You don't mean anything by the post. It might be, oh, I love Star Trek, for example. And then suddenly someone just weighs in and says, you know, just attacks that, your mental abilities or your intelligence because you like a science fiction program. You think, well, if you don't like it, that's fair enough, but why are you attacking me for liking it? And it's that kind of keyboard, they call them keyboard warriors, I call them keyboard cowards, because I will guarantee these people that attack people from the safety of their living room or bedroom on their keyboard will never ever say the same thing to your face. And it's that kind of thinking, this cyberbullying on platforms like TikTok and Snapchat and the others, it raised all kinds of instances where we really needed to start thinking about online harassment. And it did this kind of, eventually with the suicides that happened amongst young people because of this cyberbullying, it did prompt, too late, discussions about digital safety, mental health support, and responsible online behaviour. And sadly, the social media platforms had to be dragged kicking and screaming to even nominally acknowledge there was a problem and to put feeble safeguards in place, just literally the minimum standard that was required. So even though they conformed to the letter of any legal changes that were made here in the UK, they really didn't embrace the spirit of it, it has to be said. It can cause an addiction to social media. So it is addictive. It's that dopamine hit all the time. The endless scrolling and constant notifications and the beep of a notification. Or this digital dependency that it has a definite negative impact on mental health. And I'm not just talking about young people here. Old, you see everyone addicted to their phone, and it bings, and they can't help it. They have to check what that Bing was. I mean, guilty of it just as much as anyone else. I actually turned the sound off my phone, so I don't get the constant ding, ding, ding. And you know, sometimes I might miss an important message here and there for a wee while, only for a little while, but it's better than that constant ding, ding, ding every few seconds, which is what you see people responding to. You know, and studies have shown the addictive nature of platforms like TikTok and YouTube and the others are designed to maximize user engagement through that endless scrolling and autoplay features. And it does create these screen time concerns, which is linked to digital addiction. So let's look at some real-life examples of how this all works. So we mentioned about social comparison, and real-life example of body image concerns of this are they emphasize visual content. Platforms like Instagram and TikTok, with their emphasis on visual content and idealized lifestyles, have been associated with body image concerns and unrealistic beauty standards amongst users for years now, and it particularly affects adolescents. Influencers' curated images and filter posts contribute to feelings of inadequacy, comparison and body dissatisfaction, and all that impacts on people's self-esteem, and that leads to an impact on their mental well-being. The other example of all this social comparison thing is this fear of missing out, or FOMO. It's such a common problem. It's actually got its own abbreviation, FOMO. This missing out, fear of missing out, is exacerbated by constant social media updates and feed just pushing stuff to you all the time. And this creates feelings of anxiety and loneliness and social isolation, because the people reading this are not part of what is going on. This fear of missing out, made worse by constant social media updates and curated feeds, can lead to feelings of anxiety and loneliness and even social isolation. And studies have shown that excessive social media use can trigger this fear of missing out, FOMO, which affects, again, individuals' mental health and emotional well-being. The cyberbullying and harassment side of things is really something that the Online Safety Bill in the UK, for example, was initially designed to counteract, but it's not even kept up with the rate that these platforms have developed. So all this, you don't have to look very far in any feed to find instances of cyberbullying, hate speech, online harassment on platforms like Twitter and Facebook, or X as it's now called, and Facebook. And it just, this psychological impact of digital abuse is all around us. Victims of cyberbullying in particular experience anxiety and depression and trauma. It's a real problem, and it highlights this need for effective moderation, reporting mechanisms and mental health support services on the social platforms themselves. The social media companies need to be providing proper help and assistance, and not just pushing the high-rated advertising feeds that they make their money from. You also need to look at trolling and toxic behaviour of some users as well, these keyboard cowards, as I call them. The ability of people to hide behind screens and social media, it just facilitates this toxic behaviour and trolling and online aggression, and creates a hostile environment that harms users' emotional and mental safety. Addressing toxic online cultures, promoting digital civility and fostering positive interactions should all be just something that the social media platforms do automatically. And yet, you see very little evidence that they're putting any kind of real investment into those kind of services. They are much more likely to promote a controversial post because it's going to get lots of hits than they are to push an online mental health addressing service, for example. It's a crazy situation where these, you know, the constant push of controversial or harrowing or negative posts pushes out any kind of real. It's this, I mentioned it last week, it's this creation of this us and them platform of all things now. There is no even trying to meet in the middle. There is no proper debate. You fall into one camp or another, and that's how we're made to feel by these algorithms that the social media platforms use, because if a post creates a lot of hits and a lot of heated argument and even threats and bullying behavior all the time, the social media platforms are making money on the advertising from the clicks. I'm an advocate for free speech, but the social media platforms don't actually engage in that. They push negativity because it makes them money. That's not free speech. That's actually making money on the back of someone's pain, because at the end of the day, these posts and trolls and cyberbullies and harassment and controversial posts and the whole body shaming kind of approach to so-called influencers and all the made up filters and comparison with these so-called influencers, it all increases the pressure on forming minds in particular, and even older people that have got, you know, more resilience about life and what have you, you still can feel that kind of attack. And it's like, where did that come from? Why? And it just makes people feel less willing to engage, which is obviously what some of the people hiding behind screens really want to do. Anyway, they want to drive out any view that isn't their own. And social media gives them the platform to shout very loudly and drown out the majority of people who don't want to get into arguments when they go on Facebook. They don't want to get into kind of abuse and firefights and, you know, basically social media versions of fisticuffs, when all they wanted to do really was post a picture of their grandchild's first steps. It's just, I find the whole thing really quite scary, really, how we've allowed these platforms to get away with not really policing themselves as they should have done right from the start, and then resisting attempts to police them now that we have got instances of, you know, suicide after cyberbullying or body shaming or just all kinds of different issues that the platforms have caused. Like I said last week, when social media first arrived, back in the days of MySpace, remember that? And Facebook was only just getting started and the other platforms were taking tentative steps. I thought, this is going to be great. This can build real communities. We can have fan groups. We can have, you know, clubs and societies and people with interest sharing their ideas about, you know, an Atari computer and how to make it work, you know, to the best of its ability. Yes, I'm an Atari nerd, so sue me. But it's got to the point where I have to say, actually, social media now is doing more harm than it did good. Yes, I'm in a few little groups here and there, some comic groups that I follow, at my Rover 75, which I love. I'm in a few groups on that, and they're very helpful, very fantastic, very supportive set of people. But even in those groups, you get these spats just arise from absolutely nowhere. You just think, wow, I'm not visiting that group for a little while, because why would you have an argument about that when you're supposed to be fans of the same product or service or vintage computer or vintage car or Marvel comics or DC. It doesn't matter if you're a fan of comics. It doesn't matter if you like DC more than you like Marvel. It's just, and vice versa, we love comics. That should be the unifying force, and it doesn't seem to be that anymore. Social media addiction is definitely a problem, because you have to suddenly start to say, it doesn't matter if I miss a notification. It doesn't matter if my friends have posted and I don't answer straight away. But it gets hard to be able to do that. So excessive social media use is creating this social media addiction, because it's that constant dopamine hit from the scrolling and the feeling to need, you know, the feeling that you need to respond to constant notifications, creating this digital dependency, and that leads to addictive behaviors and negative consequences for mental health once again. Studies have shown that social media addiction is associated with sleep disturbances, anxiety, reduced well-being, underscores, again, this need for digital well-being strategies and mindful technology use that needs to be taught at school, but not just at school, it needs to be taught at workplaces, it needs to be across the board. And the social media companies should be taking the lead on this, and they don't. And you have to ask why. There's definitely been an impact from all this on youth. I mean, the impact on social media on children and adolescents' mental health is a recognised problem. It's not just a growing concern anymore, it's a entrenched problem. And research has linked excessive screen time, cyberbullying and social comparison to increased rates of anxiety and depression and low esteem amongst young users. So we need to have the services online that educate young people about, you need to have a cut-off point, you need to be more careful about when and how you use these systems, you need to have moderation, you need to have stricter controls on the algorithms that push potentially harmful posts to young, impressionable minds. And also cut out the cyberbullying and harassment. Free speech doesn't give someone the right to bully online or attack someone online. Free speech means putting across a point of view, but doing it with some style and elegance. We've just lost those skills completely. And I find the whole issue of social media in this particular field to be significantly lacking. So even just with that brief discussion on how the social media platforms are affecting the well-being of a whole generation, really, and not just the young minds, as I said. It affects people of all ages, but the young are getting the brunt of it. And we need to really shed more light on the complex interplay between social media and mental health. We need to be pushing that at all educational and health levels. And we need to get proper digital well-being practices and online safety measures and online mental health support services, as well as an improvement in physical mental health services that understand the negative impact of social media on individuals' psychological well-being. We need to get all that in place whilst we're waiting for the social media companies to get serious about the investment that's needed to protect their users. They don't seem to understand that they should be protecting their users. And I just find the whole thing quite amazing, really. If we foster digital literacy in schools right from a young age and across adult learning systems, adult colleges, universities, and even workplaces where we can, you know, we have a workshop every now and again just to show people how they can get away from using their phone and responding to the needs and demands of their phone. And corporations and companies also have a role to play with their own attitude towards, oh, it's all right for me to send this message telling my employee at 8 o'clock at night that he needs to do a report for tomorrow or whatever. We need to stop all that as well. This whole idea of productivity and the nirvana of increasing productivity, we need to understand that the impact of constantly sending notificational messages that have an action attached to them, in particular to staff at all age groups across, you know, all kinds of industries, the more that we make people feel that they have to respond all the time, that they have that urgency, that sense, and that exhausts the workforce and leads to lower productivity. And I don't understand why companies don't themselves understand the link between the ubiquity of constantly being in touch, this constant ability to get hold of people, whether they're at home or on holiday, or it's the weekend, or it's 9 o'clock at night, or 6 o'clock in the morning. We need to wake up and actually understand that it's our own policies as businesses, not just, you know, the social media platforms, but most businesses now, we need to actually understand that we have a duty of care to our workforce. And by actually improving the services that we can give to our workforce, particularly around mental health and pressures and associations with using some of the social media platforms as tools for work, the more that we can actually improve the ability to take care of our workforce, the more productive they will be. It's just a very simple lesson. And it's a lesson that, unfortunately, a lot of managers of companies don't understand. So it's not just the social media companies that are to blame. We've kind of lost what capitalism is. We don't have capitalism now, we have greed. But the greed itself is eating the very golden, you know, goose that's laying the golden eggs. We're not protecting our workforce, and that is impacting on our ability to succeed. So we do need to look at these programs, we do need to put them in place, and we do need to create a healthier digital environment to nurture well-being, resilience, and positive mental health outcomes for users of all ages. I'm going to close this here now. I've got a third part of this, which I'll do next week. In the meantime, all that remains for me to say is, please, if you are feeling that you have to constantly answer to notifications, you need to actually take a look and just ask the question, is it going to be the end of the world if I do not answer that message right now? Do what I do. Turn the sound off. Make sure that you do regular breaks from all kinds of interaction, whether it's email, messaging, or social media notifications. I tend to do my emails, check my emails 3 times a day. That's it. I do a morning, I do midday, usually when I'm having a coffee, and then I do about 4-ish, and then anything else can wait till the next morning. I've turned off sound on my phone, unless I'm expecting a very important phone call. I turn the sound off so it's not constantly dinging on my computer screen or on my phone. I don't get that anymore. Unless I'm expecting a very important phone call, the sound is never on. I check and I look every now and again over at my phone screen. But we need to train ourselves to do that. And for young people in particular, we need to be working with them on setting a diet, a social media diet, if you want, that protects their minds. So, as always, there is a forum post that will go with this episode. If you go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum, you'll find the post for today's show, and you can make your own comments about, you know, what else should we consider in terms of helping our young people in particular deal with the pressures that social media is creating, and also how we can look at best practice in the workplace as well to improve the kind of services that are needed to cope with the pressures of constantly being switched on. This is the problem. And it's a growing problem that is starting to now really eat into the workforce resilience of many Western countries, and not just the West, but in particular we seem to be obsessed with this constant influencer push, or this constant need to scroll and make sure we've caught up with the latest notifications. And we just need to be a little bit more pragmatic and a little more elegant about the way we approach it, and social media companies need to do their part without being forced to do it and dragged kicking and screaming to a point where they actually acknowledge that they wield a lot of power. But the power at the moment is being allowed for more ill than it is for good. I'm not saying it's all bad, not at all. But we need to get the balance back into what is, you know, social media can be fun. It can have these groups of interest that are really helpful, or for just people just want to share what the, you know, oh my goodness, I got my tarry to do this today, or, you know, we just need to get back to a kind of just fan group type approach to social media. And I really hope that the social media companies get back to that approach and help these groups of interest manage themselves in a way that is friendly and helpful and fun. And we seem to have forgotten that word. As always, everyone, take care. As I say, come and join me in the forum, and I'll see you next week with the third and final part of this look at how social media has impacted upon societal norms and just the whole idea of what well-being really is. I'll see you all soon.
Would like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.